This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
The renewal of the American dream tonight by President Donald Trump. That's going to be the theme of the speech. Renewal of the American dream, his second term vision before Congress. I'll be tuning in. You're going to watch? I bet you will. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 30 minutes of nonstop talk for you. Brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place. And don't forget, it's never too early to make your summer vacation plans, because before you know it, summer's going to be here. Memorial Day, just a couple months away. So book now for the best rooms. Go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. All right. Now, the question that I think is on everybody's minds right now is a couple of them. And that is that when the president of the United States comes out tonight, and if he does announce that he's reached a peace deal with Zelensky, who's begged like a dog for peace, does that mean then that the Democrats will stand up and cheer? Right now, we are in the middle of what could be, and since Matt DeSantis, the executive producer of the program, is not here today, I can say that I think that Fidel Castro is, I could say Fidel Castro is Justin Trudeau's bastard father, or he's the bastard love child, I guess is probably the proper way to say it. It's just hard without DeSantis in my head to correct me.
So right? used to him instantly jumping in, not used to formulating the whole thought.
Yeah, I can't even get the words out properly, correctly. But I'll get to little Fidel, don't worry, and DeSantis will be back to lecture me and tell me that that's not the official stance of the show. But in the meantime, I'm gonna enjoy this, believe me. The question of what these tariffs mean and the economic impact. But here's something else I want to ask you about, and this is an important point. Is it possible that the reason why egg prices are so high, in addition to this mass slaughter of chickens, are cage-free laws in various states? There's a piece over at Reason.com I saw about this earlier today. It turns out a lot of states, you know, they have laws that you can't put chickens in cages. Cage-free eggs. It's all the rage. It was all the rage many, many years ago. Now people just want cheap eggs. They don't care if the eggs are still in a cage. They just want cheap eggs. But it turns out that with the forecast now that egg prices could raise 41% this year, 41%. And, you know, speaking of California, like we had Susan Crabtree on, they're approaching $10 a dozen. The national average is just under $5 a dozen. Now, we know that the Biden administration, their big plan on this was to just slaughter chickens. Pennsylvania, agriculture being our number one industry. We've talked about this quite a bit with Senator Dave McCormick. What do we do about the avian bird flu? And is this really something we should be panicking about? And is the mass slaughter of chickens really necessary? I talked to the agriculture secretary about this when I was at the White House, Brooke Rollins. Now, they are putting a plan in place, no doubt about this. There's a family-owned cafe in Florida. They're spending about $1,500 a week just on eggs, just little places. Denny's, Waffle House, they're now having surcharges for dishes made with eggs. But it turns out that in many states, they have laws, they're cage-free laws, that ban the sale of any eggs within state boundaries that are not laid by cage-free hens. And as you can imagine, the list of those states are all blue states, like California, Massachusetts, and close to a dozen other states that have those cage-free laws. This is another classic example of a supposedly altruistic government policy that causes detrimental unintended consequences. Over 60% of the nation's eggs are laid by caged hens. which means that residents in those cage-free states are effectively cut off from two-thirds of America's egg supply. Think about this now. If you live in one of those states in America right now, where there are laws that say you cannot sell eggs in this state unless those eggs are cage-free eggs, you're cut off from all the other states in the country that allow it. Cage-free egg laws. Look, by the way, if you want to buy cage-free eggs, knock yourself out. You know what I want to buy? Cheap eggs. That's what I want to buy. Now, I've had this conversation with people before, and they're like, oh, it's better for the hens to be cage-free. I don't know about that. They fight with each other. They kill each other. I don't really think chickens think about it either. I really don't. I think chickens in a cage, I don't really know if they sit there and ponder their life, but California, Colorado, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, Oregon, Rhode Island, Utah, Washington, these are all states that mandate this. You can only buy cage-free eggs. In fact, in Washington, since I know our buddy Richard in Walla Walla is listening, Washington House Bill 2049, signed into law in 2019, requiring all eggs sold in the state to come from cage-free or better by 2023. Now, why is this a big deal? Because like anything else in America, supply and demand is probably part of the big issue. But I think it's important to keep in mind going forward, the left loves putting in place these kind of humanitarian policies. And if you look at the price of eggs in those states versus the price of eggs in other states, even though we're all paying more, those states are paying the most because you can't even bring in eggs from other states to meet the demand. I know, right? Oh, the left, they're so cute with their policies. The Attorney General Pam Bondi has announced that she's going to drop the Epstein files. They're coming her way. She's not backing down. Good for her. Here's what the Attorney General said very late last night. A federal court has delivered a truckload. Cut number one.
Well, sure. And you're looking at these documents going, these aren't all the Epstein files. You know, there were flight logs, there were names and victims' names. And we're going, where's the rest of the stuff? And that's what the FBI had turned over to us. And so a source said, whoa, all this evidence is sitting in the Southern District of New York.
Yeah.
So based on that, I gave them the deadline Friday at 8:00. A truckload of evidence arrived. It's now in the possession of the FBI. Cash is going to get me and himself, really, a detailed report as to why all these documents and evidence had been withheld. And, you know, we're going to go through it as fast as we can, but go through it very cautiously to protect all the victims of Epstein, because there are a lot of victims.
All right. I'm fine with that. I have no problem waiting. None whatsoever. I have no problem waiting. Just get me the information and put it all out there. It's good. And we will. I think we'll get the truth. I really believe that. I have confidence in this. We'll get the truth. The truth will come out. This is a major threat to the deep state. Pam Bondi and Kash Patel are major threats to the deep state. All of these people in the Trump administration who want to go after the shadow government that we have and the shenanigans that they engaged in, I'm very, very happy to know that they're scared right now. And I can wait. I'm a patient man. No problem. Not a problem at all. Tonight, as part of his address to the nation, the president is going to talk about he's going to ask Congress for more money for the border. Good. Border crossings are already down big time. That's an excellent, excellent development. But the real tell tonight is whether or not he starts the speech by announcing that he has a peace deal with Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. And they have announced now a ceasefire with Russia. And this is now turning a corner for peace. White House crypto czar David Sacks said that the Ukrainian president is an actor playing Winston Churchill. He said this last night in Fox News. I agree. And I think that for Zelensky, he doesn't want this war to end because he loves the grift. He loves the gravy train. Somebody whispered in his ear and suggested that no matter what happens, the money is still going to flow to Ukraine. But you don't play that game with Donald Trump. And that's why last night he came out and said, I'm cutting off aid to Ukraine. Today, Zelensky picks up the phone and says, whoa, not so fast. Any chance we can make that deal, sir? Here's what David Sacks had to say, cut number six.
Well, you know, it's always hard to know exactly. I mean, Zelensky had one job. All he had to do was show up, be respectful, sign the minerals deal, shake hands for the cameras. And instead, he turned out to be he acted not like Churchill, but an actor playing Winston Churchill. He acted like a spoiled Hollywood actor. He acted entitled. He acted ungrateful. He acted peevish, petulant, combative. And now, he's going to have to come crawling back and offer an apology. But I think that when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
So there's no way you can deal with a guy like Zelensky. He's got to leave before anything gets signed.
Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't deal with him, but I think that Zelensky has powerful motivations not to make peace. I don't think he really wants to make peace. He says that the war needs to keep going on. He basically says the war needs to go on forever. And I think there's good reasons for that in his mind. Number one, if the war is over, he loses power, right? He canceled elections there. He's in the sixth year of a 5-year term. And if he stands for elections, he's very unpopular there, despite what the fake polls from USAID say. And he'll be vulnerable to political retaliation from his political opponents. He needs this war to justify his rule. So I think that's number one, is if he gives up power, his own safety is at risk. Number two is the gravy train here. I mean, we've been sending hundreds of billions of dollars over to Ukraine, and these Ukrainian elites there, these oligarchs, have been feasting on that money. And Zelensky is at the top of that pyramid. And that whole grift ends if the war ends. And I just think that that gives him a powerful incentive to want to keep this whole thing going.
Yeah, it is. But the only problem, though, is that if there's no money coming, he can't keep it going. That's why Trump coming out last night and saying he was going to cut off the funding for Ukraine was the smartest move to make. For Zelensky, who is an actor and a comedian, has a gigantic ego, and is also now viewed by the world as this tested warrior, blah, 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 blah. If there's no money coming in, what's going to happen? You'll see how fast Europe shuts that down. And don't forget what I told you at the start of the show today. And that is this. $1 trillion has gone into Vladimir Putin's pocket. The very same European countries that are supposedly funding this war to help their buddy Ukraine have given Putin over $1 trillion in 2024 alone by buying his oil and his natural gas. That's right. $1 trillion with a T. So if you look at everything that's happening right now, and you understand now that for Zelensky, that means no more money, he will be taken out of power like that. That money stops coming in, he's out of power. Now, as part of this deal, it's very possible that he'll get to stay. He'll get to stay in power. That's all he wants. He wants to be in power. He wants to be able to still, you know, get a little bit on the side, right? He wants to be able to wet his friends' beaks. Somehow or another, all these people that keep saying Ukraine is a democracy missed this point about how much money has gone missing here in all of this. But it's been a lot. And Americans are more aligned with Trump than Biden on Ukraine. It is a major, major difference. We played you that clip of Harry Enten yesterday on the show. But the fact that Americans are standing with Donald Trump and saying this has to stop, this has to end, no matter what you see on Facebook, no matter what your friends post on their pictures and update there with the I Stand With Ukraine photos or anything else, the majority of Americans like Trump's vision of peace. They want peace. They want it to end. They want it to stop. That's what they want. And that's why I think tonight you're going to see a very big surprise. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, maybe there won't be an announcement tonight. But the real question is, if there is, will Democrats stand up and cheer, or will they stay in their seats? That's what you got to watch for tonight. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. So Canada and Justin Trudeau, the little man child over there, very well manscaped, bears a striking resemblance to Fidel Castro. I'm not saying he's the bastard love child of Fidel Castro. Wink, wink. I'm just simply saying he bears a strong resemblance to him. He's very upset by the retaliatory tariffs put on Canada, and he's announcing his own retaliatory tariffs. This is little Fidel having a meltdown right now. Let's start with cut number 15.
So today, the United States launched a trade war against Canada, their closest partner and ally, their closest friend. At the same time, they're talking about working positively with Russia, appeasing Vladimir Putin, a lying, murderous dictator. Make that make sense. Canadians are reasonable, and we are polite, but we will not back down from a fight. Not when our country and the well-being of everyone in it is at stake.
Now, he's decided to announce reciprocal tariffs, and the president slammed that today by saying Governor Trudeau is not acting very responsible and reasonable. Trudeau's argument is that the president is trying to force Canada into becoming the 51st state, and he said that will never, ever happen. Now, why would we want Canada, first of all? Why would we want Canada? A couple theories on this. And I'm not so sure we do, but let's say, hypothetically, the world has changed. And in terms of land and oil and everything else, the United States of America looks into the future. And you have a reasonable president right now who's turned around and said, all right, we can't rely on wind and solar and all the other nonsense of the Green New Deal. We need to have oil and natural gas and nuclear power to power this nation for the next 100 years. Canada's got a lot of oil. Greenland, the reason why we want to buy Greenland isn't because it sounds cute. It's because from a strategic point of view, Greenland and having a very strong United States presence there, and not just having a base, but actually owning Greenland, is a way then that we could rebut any potential moves by Russia. Another reason why we want the mineral rights deal to go forward with Ukraine is because Russia and China are forming an alliance right now in a very, very strong way that is going to be an energy powerhouse for the next 100 years. Remember, China doesn't care about burning their dirty coal and their oil. Vladimir Putin is, to quote Dr. Victoria Coates, it is a gas station with nuclear weapons. That's what Russia is. So now you look at the next 100 years and you say to yourself, okay, we only have so much oil in the United States of America. We have Alaska, thank God. But what if we had more of Canada? What if Canada did become the 51st state? Now, there's a lot of poverty in Canada. We'd have to take care of those people, too. But from an energy perspective, it could be a very, very real thing. So is Trump really trying to force Canada's hand into becoming the 51st state of the United States of America? And strategically speaking, would that be a good thing for us, considering right now? And this is an important point. Trump signed an executive order authorizing an additional 25% tariff on imports from Canada and Mexico and an additional 10% tariff on Chinese imports. But energy imported from Canada, including oil, natural gas, and electricity, would be taxed at an additional 10%. Canada's got a lot of that. It's got a lot of oil. It's got a lot of natural gas. Is Trump thinking about the next 100 years and thinking to himself, hey, if I force Canada's hand here, maybe they have to just come and join us? Trudeau said he expects to speak with Trump in the days to come. Now, one thing that could happen, of course, is that, well, we could turn around and we could get rid of all tariffs between our countries together because Canada imposes a lot of tariffs on the United States of America. What the Prime Minister of Canada is accusing the United States of doing right now is saying is he wants a total collapse of the Canadian economy because that'll make it easier to annex us. Now, first of all, it's never going to happen. We will never be the 51st state. But yeah, he can do damage to the Canadian economy. Why would Canada not become the 51st state? Really, what would be the reason? What would be the big thing that stops them from doing so? Now, the president, from his own perspective here, I do think is playing a game with Canada. I think he's going to win this game, too. I really do. Because Canada doesn't have the same leverage over the United States that we have on Canada. So here's Trudeau announcing an additional 25% tariffs on $155 billion worth of American goods, cut 16.
At the moment, the U.S. tariffs came into effect in the early hours of this morning, and so did the Canadian response. Canada will be implementing 25% tariffs against $155 billion worth of American goods, starting with tariffs on $30 billion worth of goods immediately, and tariffs on the remaining $125 billion of American products in 21 days' time.
Now, the president on Truth Social put out the following statement, quote, please explain to Governor Trudeau of Canada that when he puts on a retaliatory tariff on the United States, our reciprocal tariff will immediately increase by a like amount. He also went ahead the following. He said this, Canada doesn't allow American banks to do business in Canada, but their banks flood the American market. Oh, that seems fair to me, doesn't it? Of course, he's being sarcastic there. Now, it's very possible that the president, looking at the next 100 years for the United States energy security, thinks that in addition to the energy independence that we have to have as a boom here, we need to be able to occupy more geographical territory that has oil and natural gas for the next 150 years. He may be thinking that far in the future. Or maybe he's just thinking to himself, we can just completely level this playing field once and for all. In other words, Canada takes away all the tariffs they have against the United States, and we take away all the tariffs we have against Canada. So if you're a free trade person, you like that because that means tariffs go away. And then if Canada opens up the United States to be able to do, for our banks to be able to do business in Canada, well, then that benefits the United States economy as well. How long will this trade war with Canada really last? Does President Trump really want to cause all this economic damage to the American people? Of course not. It's very simple. President Trump wants to go down in history as being one of the most consequential and popular presidents in American history, period. That's what he wants. That's what's driving him. He's got 4 years to accomplish that. 4 years. Does it make sense strategically for the United States of America to take over Canada? There's debate. I heard the other day, for example, Charles Payne in Fox News, Fox Business, was saying, we don't necessarily want Canada because there's a lot of poverty in Canada. True. But boy, there's a lot of energy in Canada. Strategically speaking as well, that also enables the United States of America, if we wanted to think about our manifest destiny here, now we control the bulk of North America. By far, geographically going all the way up into the Arctic regions, and God only knows what's there to explore in the Arctic. We're not allowed to right now because the left always screams about climate change, and Justin Trudeau is a climate change fanatic. So if you're thinking long term and you're thinking about buttressing this gigantic continent known as Eurasia, that's a place, Europe and Asia, and you think about Russia and China and their alliance and the massive amount of energy they have there. And you think about, strategically speaking, the next 30, 40, 50, 100 years, and you think about the United States of America occupying all this vast land and also Greenland. And you look at the map of the world and you say, well, if the S hits the fan, the U.S. has a massive amount of territory, a massive amount of energy supply. And then it also keeps China and Russia and their buddies down in Iran from being able to command the world market. Because so much of oil, the vast majority of it, is driven by what they do with OPEC. I mean, they really set the stage. You know, if you watch Landman, Billy Bob Thornton does a whole great monologue about how they just want to keep the price of oil at a certain amount of barrel. Not too high, not too low. It's finding that sweet spot, right? But there's far too much that's left out of our control in the United States of America. And we know that elections can change. I mean, in 4 years from now, we could have a Democrat president, God forbid. But thinking long term about our own energy supply in the United States of America and thinking about the size of this country, I mean, geographically, the United States of America is not nearly as big as a Russia-China-Iranian alliance when it comes to energy. Now, I don't know if that's really what President Trump's thinking. He may just simply want banks to be able to do business there. He may just not like Trudeau. It could just be personal. He may just not like the guy. I don't like the guy. He's not a very likable guy. And I know that Pierre Poilievre, who is the most likely guy to succeed Trump, is also not happy about these tariffs. I don't blame him. I mean, that's what you should say if you want to become the Prime Minister of Canada. You shouldn't be out there saying that these tariffs are a good thing for your country. But what is the long-term play in all this? Just ask yourself that question. I just refuse to believe that the goal of Donald Trump, despite what Democrats say, despite what the media says, is to make us all just pay more money for things. I don't really think he wants that. You're not going to go down in history as a very popular president if at the end of your term, Americans are paying so much more for things because of your tariffs. He may like tariffs, personally speaking, but if they really do drive up the cost of goods, he's not going to be popular. It's very simple. It's politics 101. Trump gets that game. He's no fool. He's not going to run for a third term, despite his jokes. He's not going to. So he wants to leave office as being remembered as one of the most consequential presidents, and this is a guy who does not like to lose. So what is this really all about? Justin Trudeau came out today and said less than 1% of all fentanyl that comes into the United States comes from Canada. So obviously it's not about fentanyl, even though the president is using that to justify the executive order, because without having some sort of clear national security impetus, it's hard for the president to just impose tariffs. So he's using that as the baseline here. Trudeau says they're going to talk in the next few days. What will be accomplished? Another upside to having Canada as the 51st state, if that really is something that President Trump is thinking long term strategically, is an absolute global domination when it comes to hockey. Am I right? There's no other country in the because, well, the Russians have a lot of hockey. I mean, you remember the miracle game. Am I right? Lake Placid, 1980 Olympics. So we would have an absolute hockey domination on the world. We also have great beer in Canada, too. We have good beer, too, but their beer has higher alcohol content. So I'm just saying there's a lot of upsides to this. I think clearly the president is thinking long term, very long term in this. There's no doubt in my mind that if President Trump is able to accomplish the following things, a secure border for the United States of America, not just energy independence, but energy dominance on the world stage. Is it really, does it make you feel good that Vladimir Putin just made $1 trillion off of the European countries who are funding the war in Ukraine? Of course not. If you think Putin's a dictator, and he is, then why would you want the guy to make $1 trillion? Wouldn't you want the United States of America being the world's largest exporter of oil and natural gas? Of course you would. But if you really look at the alliance that's being formed right now, geopolitically, between Russia, China, and Iran, you have to say to yourself, we're dealing with three countries who are completely unpredictable, who want global domination and control a vast amount of the world's natural resources when it comes to oil and natural gas and coal, too. So and they're not governed by crazy, crazy lunatic lefties who are worried about things like fake climate change. They're worried about just dominating the world. That's what they're really, their concern is. It's not climate change like Justin Trudeau's worried about. It's domination. It's global domination. And the very same European countries that have been going on and on about how mean Trump is to Vladimir Putin just put $1 trillion in the guy's pocket last year alone. $1 trillion. Now, in 10 years, I don't know what the country is going to look like. I don't know what Canada is going to look like. I mean, it might be governed by a lunatic lefty. This country might be governed by a lunatic lefty. And by that time, let's say you get a Gavin Newsom as president, God forbid, or you get a Phil Murphy as president, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable. Let's say you get an even worse version of Justin Trudeau as the prime minister of Canada. And all these guys announce that they don't want any more oil and natural gas. So they make it so impossible for us to be able to flow oil and natural gas from Canada into the United States of America. They basically shut down fracking. They put more stupid bans on the export of liquid natural gas. They find all these roadblocks to stop us from drilling. Do you think Russia and China and Iran are going to go along with any of those things? Of course not. And a lot of other countries in the Middle East, too, by the way, like Dubai, for example. Dubai is another great example of a country. They hosted the great climate change summit this year, or last year, I guess it was. It was adorable. You know that they didn't have any plastic straws there? I know. Everybody there had to use a paper straw in Dubai. But the fun part about it is that meanwhile, while they're hosting this big climate change summit, they're building islands off of Dubai for the purposes of drilling off their coast for more oil. What does the future look like when Iran and Dubai and all the other countries in the Middle East continue to dominate the world's energy market? We need that energy because we're not going to get it from solar and wind, despite what the left says. Russia and China and Iran and other countries have formed this incredible alliance, and we're governed by wackos who won't let us drill and won't let us frack and do all the other things. Or what if we just run into a situation where, quite frankly, Canada, we need their oil and natural gas, refuses to cooperate because they're governed by a lunatic. I really do think Trump thinks these things. I think he thinks long term about these things because he listens to people who warn the United States of America about what's coming down the road. I'm not saying that we're going to run out of oil and natural gas. What I'm saying is that we're going to run into a time where we have politicians who just simply won't allow us to get it. And they're fine with that. As far as they're concerned, for the good of mankind or humankind, excuse me, humankind. We don't want to be sexist in our language here. That's OK if it means saving the world. But what these idiots never realize is that China, Russia and Iran and all the other countries around the world, they don't give a flying blank about saving the world. They care about dominating it. And I think that's what Trump strategically is thinking long term. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. But Trump may roll back the tariffs, and he may do it much sooner than we all think. In other words, I would take a deep breath. I think it's all going to be okay. I really, really do. Emmons Roofing and Siding is going to help you in your home when it comes to saving you money. How does 10% off sound on all their projects? 10% off a new roof. The best in the business, the Owens Corning shingle with a lifetime warranty on that roof. 10% off Anderson windows, 10% off doors, siding. Listen, we've used Emmons in two different homes over the course of 10 years, and I've been proud of their work every time. Matt and Stephanie are dedicated to customer satisfaction. They understand that their quality and craftsmanship is everything. And they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. It's never too late to start thinking about improving your home. And with 10% off, it makes sense. Your home will not only look better from the curb, your home will be more energy efficient and ready to withstand the elements. So use the company I trust, because trust is everything. And Emmons is the name you can trust. In our old home, we had them do the roof. I was so impressed with the job they did. I said, let's do the windows. In this house, they've already replaced skylights for us, put on two new doors, and more work to come. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. And yes, they remodeled the bathroom in our old house, and my wife was thrilled. Happy wife, happy life. So reach out to Emmons today by going to emmonsroofing.com and make sure you tell them I sent you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I tell you, this show is flying by. Justin, you're doing a great job producing. In Matt DeSantis' absence, I think we all agree we don't need him back.
I appreciate the compliment, but I'll feel like I need my emotional support DeSantis every now and again.
He is like a little emotional support pet, right? You want to pet him and, you know, right? Just saying, you know. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Howard Lutnick says the tariffs with Canada and Mexico could come to an end as fast as tomorrow. They could all be worked out that quickly. People in Ottawa, like I saw this clip earlier today, Alberta lawyer Jeffrey Rath says a delegate is planning to travel to D.C. to pitch President Trump on Alberta statehood. It's quite evident that we're being governed by idiots in Ottawa. There's a number of us in Alberta that have had enough. I definitely know that Trump is playing a strategic game, no doubt about that. The other thing is that my buddy Dana Perino predicting that tonight President Trump is going to announce that he has officially brokered a peace deal with Ukraine and Russia, a mineral rights deal. We'll see if that's the case. I would not be shocked at all if that happens. It's very obvious that Zelensky is begging for peace. It's very obvious that he realizes now that he messed up last week by not signing the deal. So all these things are at play right now. And the other thing, too, I played a montage before of all these Democrats who were saying the same thing at the exact same time, over and over again. It's really painful to listen to. But some Democrats are just going to skip the speech altogether tonight. Who cares? I mean, it's just funny to me as an observation. It's this. It's that when a Democrat's president, we hear screams about bipartisanship all the time. When a Republican's president, it's stand in the way, stop it, block it. Do everything you can to make the guy fail. Do you remember when Rush Limbaugh said, if Barack Obama's plan is to bring socialism, I hope he fails? And the left lost their friggin' minds and said that Rush Limbaugh saying he hopes the president fails. You remember that? Of course you remember. Do you realize that literally what he was saying was, if Obama's plan is socialism, he hope he fails at bringing socialism to the United States of America. Sadly, Obama was able to achieve a lot of that through Obamacare. But every Democrat right now, with the exception, honestly, really, of John Fetterman, I mean, he's the only one who's trying to work with Trump because he gets it. He understands his political future is tied in the state of Pennsylvania. Him winning another term is tied to Trump's success. But beyond him in the Senate, there's nobody who wants to work with the guy. But every Democrat voted against protecting women in sports. Every single one of them in the United States Senate voted against protecting women in sports. Think about that. That's just outrageous to me. And, you know, for a guy like John Fetterman, who wants to pretend like he's a common sense guy and had a situation in his own state, in his own state, where you had young women who lost out because they had to play against a biological male, for him to block the federal anti-transgender bill, as he calls it, is a slap in the face to all those swimmers at Penn who are now suing. Good for them. But Fetterman was, like all other Democrats, voting to block the bill that would have protected women in sports. And I just think it's funny that the party that one time said that they were the party of women chose to stand up for a very small percentage of the population. I mean, a very small percentage of the population. Think about that. How many transgender athletes are we talking about here in this country? But we're talking about a lot of women. As a father of two girls, and I know how hard that they're going to work one day in whatever sports they choose to play. I don't want them having to share a locker room with a guy. I don't want them having to share a room with a guy on a road trip. I don't want them to have to lose a trophy to a guy. I know what Paula Scanlon's talked about. I know what Riley Gaines has talked about. I get it. But there's nothing cruel about protecting women in Title IX. Nothing about it. It's cruel to stand with a very small fringe group of people and to say we're not going to protect women in sports. And Fetterman went along with all the other Democrats on that. So stop saying that the guy is going to become a Republican. John Fetterman is in it for John Fetterman. Like all politicians, he's in it for himself. He wants his own best interest. And the only reason why he'll work with Donald Trump on certain issues is because without that, there's no chance he can win. But I think he made a very big mistake on this. I really do. I think he made a very big mistake not standing up for those swimmers at the University of Pennsylvania in his own state. I think that will go down as one of the big things that will be used against him when somebody runs against him for the United States Senate seat, which is not that far away. I mean, we're talking about, what, 4 years till Fetterman's up for re-election? So I think that that'll be a big issue, and he's going to have to atone for that. He's going to have to answer for that. But I know a lot of people get excited about the guy, and they think that just because he stands with Israel and just because he wants to see President Trump be okay on things like energy for Pennsylvania, and I gave him credit. I mean, you know, there's a reason tonight why Mark Fogel will be at the State of the Union address tonight, or the joint address to Congress, freed because he and Senator Dave McCormick worked together to make sure that he could come home. I get it. But do not stand with the women of your own state, considering that really UPenn, that swim team, I mean, it was ground zero. It was ground zero for the fight. And he didn't do it. And that's a real problem. And that is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. All right, got a lot more to get to. It's a busy day. So the speech tonight by the president, joint address to Congress, and tomorrow we'll have lots of analysis for you on the show. We'll share all the thoughts on what the president says tonight. I do think one of the key things, though, is going to be the idea that the American people are going to see that he's going to be much more optimistic. He's still going to be Trump, but there is an optimism in him about the greatness of America that is coming out now, and that really, really irks the left. They really do. It irks them big time. And, you know, my buddy Senator, I mean, he's not my buddy, but Mike Lee, who I think is one of the most fantastic, he pointed something out today, because there's a lot of these senators who have been wearing pink to President Trump's speech. They're going to do this tonight. You tune in tonight to watch his speech. You're going to see a lot of these Democrats are wearing pink. They do this. The pink hats are back, you know, and he pointed something out. Because, like, for example, Representative Teresa Lager Fernandez of New Mexico told Time on Tuesday that dozens of her Democratic colleagues will show up on Capitol Hill to wear pink for Trump's speech to, quote, signal our protest of Trump's policies, which are negatively impacting women and families. Pink is a color of power and protest, she said. It's time to rev up the opposition and come at Trump loud and clear. In response to that news, Senator Mike Lee of Utah called out the party for its reported protest attire for women just one day after Senate Democrats voted unanimously against the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. He said, quote, when you see Democrats wearing pink for the TV cameras tonight, remember that 45 of them voted for men to invade women's sports just yesterday. It's all an act. It is all an act. The bill failed to clear the key procedural hurdle by a vote of 51 to 45 along party lines. All Democratic senators voted against the motion to proceed, with the exceptions of Senators Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan and Peter Welch of Vermont, who were absent. But they would have been no votes, too, had they been there. And Pete Rose is going to probably, I mean, now that President Trump is going to pardon him, which I think is the coolest thing in the world. I really do. I don't know. I love that. New clips are emerging of Pete Rose's last known interview. as Major League Baseball is now considering reinstatement of our very own Pete Rose. So the thing about it is that I find it to be frustrating that Pete Rose, who's one of the all-time greats ever, made our city incredibly proud. He's going to get a pardon from the President of the United States. Thank God. And I find it infuriating that every time you turn on a sporting contest of any kind, you're just inundated with gambling ads. You're inundated with gambling ads. And Pete Rose may not have been the greatest guy that ever walked the earth, but you put somebody in the Hall of Fame. You put somebody in the Hall of Fame for the job that they do playing baseball. And nobody can doubt the fact that he's one of the absolute best that's ever played the game. That's why he deserves to be there. And there was never any evidence of him betting against his own team, despite what people lie and say about him. And they aired this interview on Fox and Friends this morning of him. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was really fantastic. In fact, you know what, Justin, let me send you the audio of this. We'll see if we can grab this and play a little bit of the clip of, we don't have to play the audio of this, but of Pete Rose from this morning. I meant to send this to you earlier today and I just forgot. But I just think it's amazing. I mean, here's a guy with a lifetime ban of baseball, passed away now, obviously. And then he will never be in the Baseball Hall of Fame because of that. And that every time, though, every single time you turn on a game, you're inundated with the latest gambling apps and everything else. You know what? Don't worry about it. I'm not going to be able to play this now. We'll play it for tomorrow's show. You're inundated. And I even made a joke when Pete Rose died. I said, now we can finally legally bet on when he'll be in the Hall of Fame. And he should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that. I think President Trump is doing something really smart here with Pete Rose. And when I see somebody like show up at Citizens Bank Park wearing a Pete Rose jersey, it reminds me every time I want one, and I should get one. I really should. Pete Rose should be reinstated. That 100% should happen. And I don't care what anybody says regarding his own personal view with regards to him maybe being, people have said, well, he was an a-hole or whatever else. It doesn't matter. The guy deserves to be recognized for his accomplishments as a baseball player. Justin, you're a sports fan. Is Pete Rose not one of the all-time greats in the history of the sport?
Charlie Hustle's one of the best hitters of all time. I mean, 4,256 hits, 17-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glove, won 3 World Series, one of them in Philadelphia, 3-time batting title. His jersey's been retired by Cincinnati, I believe. Phillies have this thing where they only retire numbers if the player goes into the Hall of Fame. But if he did go into the Hall of Fame, he would certainly have his 14 retired here, too. But Rookie of the Year, MVP, career batting average over 300. He's one of the, without a question of a doubt, best baseball players of all time.
And if the president would pardon him on tax evasion, so he can't control him being reinstated into Major League Baseball. But now that they're considering doing it, and I think if they don't do it, it would be absolutely hypocritical considering how much money Major League Baseball makes off of gambling ads. How many billions of dollars do you think in total do sports make from whether it's FanDuel or, I mean, DraftKings, all these other sports books, right? Literally, you cannot watch a game. You can't be at the parks. You're constantly hit over the head with these betting apps, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like you go to Citizens Bank Park, you'll see a FanDuel thing on the Jumbotron.
Yep.
You go to the Wells Fargo Center, you're just blasted by DraftKings, Underdog Sports. And it's just, they make billions and billions of dollars every single day. And Pete Rose never gambled on his team to lose. It's not like there was never any evidence, and there never will be any evidence of him throwing games to lose. He bet on himself to win because that's how much of an athlete he is. He knew he was going to win, so he said, I'm putting money on myself to win. It's unbelievably hypocritical that he would, that, and it's sad that when I do think he'll eventually be put in the Hall of Fame, that he's not going to be alive to experience that.
Yeah. Absolutely. He never bet against his team ever. And I always use the phrase in life, bet on yourself. I say that all the time. Bet on yourself. And that's what he did. He bet on himself. And it's a great phrase that reminds people, I think, all the time. Give yourself credit. Believe in yourself. It's a common term. And that's literally all he did. And the other thing, too, is there's no indication that he achieved any of his incredible records by using steroids. Right? Not one. No allegations of that whatsoever. Am I right, Justin?
Yeah, he was completely clean as far as, like, no, he was never implicated in any steroid scandals. No doctors, team doctors or otherwise ever said he was a clean, all-American.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there are other people who you can't say that about. So I just think, I mean, Barry Bonds, right? Is he in the Major League Hall of Fame or is he just in the Pirates Hall of Fame?
He's just in the Pirates Hall of Fame.
Well, I would say that you could make an argument that if somebody was juicing, although I wonder, I don't know, I mean, I'm not a sports expert. Are you think there's anybody in the Hall of Fame that juiced?
Oh, yeah. There's guys bound to be somebody. If I look at, like, the list of baseball Hall of Famers, I can guarantee you I could find somebody. I know for a fact he juiced.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. The guy who was who was the guy that said there's a quote I saw about Pete Rose, John Arardi, who was a sports writer at the Cincinnati Inquirer, said the following. He said, Pete Rose deserves it because his records are largely untainted by any kind of scandal in terms of steroids and such. There's no indication that he ever bet against his teams. I think his record for the all-time hit number is clear and indicative that he should be in the Hall of Fame. So I hope he gets in posthumously, but I wouldn't guarantee it. But I hope he does. I really do. And then if he gets in, then the Phillies absolutely 100% need to retire his number, do a big ceremony, because it always bugged me that he was never invited back when they would honor all the greats. They just the Phillies just pretended like he never existed. And that always bugged me. It really did. He deserved better than that from our city for what he did for us. So he won with the Phillies in 1980. People love that, you know. Charlie Hustle, baby.
I will say the one good thing the Phillies did is I remember he was there in 2022 during Alumni Day. Right? I think it was like not too long before he died. But he was at Citizens Bank Park in 2022.
Yes, you're right. He was there for Alumni Day. You're right. But that was controversial, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Everybody was like, well, why is he here? And it shouldn't be. He was a key contributor to our World Series win in 1980. I don't see what's so wrong about that.
We wouldn't have won the game, the World Series without him in 1980. Bottom line. Well, good. Maybe there'll be some hope for us after all. All right, listen, we got a full fourth and final hour coming up. I'll give you my preview of the president's address. Will we see a big peace announcement tonight? And the Democrats with their cringe-worthy videos. It's all just absolutely brutal. But Mama Zioli was texting me earlier in the show, so I know she's listening, so I have to give her the proper credit. Mama Zioli is the one who turned our entire family on to Dr. Mike Veneria. But so many people in our area have been to Dr. Mike for years because he is an outstanding dentist. He's also the master of implant dentistry. Listen, dental implants are very complicated things, and you want to make sure you go to the absolute best. That's why you want to go see my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. So just go to VeneriaDental.com and make your appointment today at VeneriaDental.com. You get a free implant consultation. And if you've already had an estimate for dental implants, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. He's worth it. You'll love the music in the office. You'll love the people in the office. And you'll love the great dental care that he will give you and your family. So reach out to him today by going to VeneriaDental.com and get the smile you deserve. Look, I mean, we got so much to smile about in this country. I've never been happier. I'm happy. And according to the poll, in 3 months when I'm back in the studio on the YouTube poll, I'll be even happier that I'll finally be able to be free. So get that beautiful smile you deserve. VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.